Good morning. We got to get all the lollygaggers out of the fellowship hall in the hallway back there. Alan's still flapping his gums. You're an unending treasure. Say that again. Okay. Tom, is that what you were doing? Holding the lollies down while someone was gagging them? The lollygaggers? Oh, I see. It's her fault. It's Kathy's fault. That Kathy. Oh, you almost got me in trouble. See, there are too many Kathys here. One more than one is too much. Okay, well, we're sharing the love again today. Welcome each and every one. So nice to have Tom and Cheryl back, and that Cheryl is better, and Tom is worse, but or at least he's with us, and he's going to be having arthroscopic knee surgery on Wednesday, so we'll be remembering Tom for that, and what else? Who else? Let's see, Frida's with us again, and we're glad for, yes, and Alma is on the road coming back from Washington. And Wayne is back with us. Glad for that. And I encourage you to ask him the story on his... Sorry, Wayne. You okay with that? Ask him the story on his tattoo. It's a good story. That's a good story. Which, it's a progressive one. 5150 here. All righty. Let's see. Okay, I think otherwise, who's got a colored bulletin insert this morning? Yay, Cheryl. All right. Double special today. Double special. And Wayne. Oh, how about that? Right on. Right on. God is good. Love and appreciate you both. All right. Let's see what we have for upcoming, shall we? Today is the Food and Fellowship Fair. If you forgot and didn't bring anything, go home. There's plenty. There's plenty. John, she's still doing that after almost 50 years. John! Okay. Celebrating April birthdays and anniversaries. Today, Bible study Wednesday night. We're at John chapter 5, verse 9. Going strong. Come and join us. All righty. And then, invitation for the ladies out there on the table, and we mentioned this last week, is a special event at the New Life Church. That's used to be Christian Center, the big Jesus is Lord church on North Boyer. And burst forth into bloom. The scholarships are available. The church council approved. If you don't have $60 to be able to go, then that'll be covered. So have any questions, see Kathy, and she can get you lined up for that. Friday night, starting at 4, pretty much most all day Saturday as well. Okay? Lunch is part of the package. Next Sunday, I'll be sharing Suffering Servant, Shepherd Sovereign. Is that enough S's for you? You want me to add some more? We can. Actually, it'll be just the first part of a two-part message. So, and then, on the front of your bulletin, from Philippians chapter 3, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. How about that? Something to look forward to. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you who I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Hollis. Don't sit down. I could use you as a nice object. I was going to have you keep standing firm for everybody else's sake. Stand firm in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you again for the freedom to come into your house, to worship you, to fellowship with your people, to unite in our songs of praise and lifting our hearts to you. Mindful of a number that we're missing, we just pray your blessing in each life and the circumstances they're dealing with. Thank you, Lord, that as always, we know that we're united together by your Spirit. We are one in you, and we rejoice in you today. Be honored and glorified in our midst, we pray. In your Son's name, amen. and as they go to Children's Church. Lord bless you. Well, kind of a second part of Paul's focus. So, Hollis, Lord bless you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Brother John.
As you share.
Good morning, everyone. I'm getting myself together here. Before we get started, I think that Jackie's watching down in the hospital, so I wanted to say hi, Jackie. I hope your surgery went well, and we'll be down to see you on Friday. So get that out of the way. Yeah. Before we read our scriptures, I want to touch on last week and know where we're going. We realized that even though that Saul recognized Christ on the road of Damascus, he was not saved in that moment. It wasn't until he went to the city and followed the directions that Christ gave him that he became saved in Christ. And we look at a very interesting point about his life. In that moment, right before Jesus came to him, Paul was a man that really had no needs in the world. He was not like a blind person that was needing healing. He wasn't destituted. He wasn't broken in the world's eyes in any way. He had fully comfort in his own self-will. His self-will, his life was sustaining him. And I think that even makes it more amazing that he was willing to turn away and accept Christ. You know, it's easy to get someone to go along with something when everything they have tried in life has failed and they're desperate. We really have no indication in that moment that Paul was really a desperate man in humanity and in society. Probably the opposite of that. So that's the direction we're going in today, in this miracle of Paul and Christ and the cross. So at this point, Osborne's going to read our scriptures for us today.
Acts 21:10-14. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done."
The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Get rid of him!" As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you?"
Thank you. from him. If you notice, he was the first preacher that saw the full power away from God's will for his life. And someone like that.
It was those that was closest to him. No, don't go. It's not going to be good. He's prophesied. The prophet has said bad things are going to happen to you there. Don't go, don't go, don't go. And then think about the statement that he made. And let's remember who Paul was. This is a Christian killer. This is just not some Joe Blow. I mean, this is not some guy that's been wishy-washy of who he was before. This was a Christian killer. A Christian killer that was probably the best at his job. And what did he say? You're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. I'll go and die for my Lord's name. Saul, Paul, what has happened here in this man? What has happened? No longer am I a Christian killer. I am a Christian that will lay my life down for this man, for this Savior, this Jesus. What has happened in this man's soul? A miracle is what has happened. Is what has happened. And how do we know it's a miracle? Because he went on and went exactly where he was asked not to go in the beginning, and they did exactly what was prophesied. And what was his main concern through it all? What was his main concern? Was it his safety? No. Nah. The minute he got with someone in authority, his own concern was, can I speak to these people? Will you allow me to share? I know they want to tear me apart. I know they want to kill me. I know they want to get rid of me. I know they want to destroy me. I know they may even want to do to me exactly what they did my Lord and Savior. But I got to speak to them. I got to tell them the truth. And in a few weeks, we'll go through, starting in 22nd, act of actually looking at what he said to them and what he preached to him and what he told about himself to them and what Jesus did for him. See, I say to you today, it's not my despair in this world that will condemn me to hell. It's that will not condemn me to hell. What will condemn me to hell is my self-comfort and my self-will through my own advices of living life on life's term that makes me self-efficient from God. That's what will dim me to hell. Until I accept that I need something bigger than I am, that I need something that's more holier than me and my soul, I can skate right by right up to death's door, right into the gates of hell. I may figure out a way to sustain self in this world, in this physical presence. But I am incapable of sustaining my spiritual well-being in the next world. Only my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do that. And through Him, I can be reunited to a safe place with the Father. Suffering for Christ. You know, when you hear that in Acts 9:15, I'll show them how you'll suffer for Christ, how you'll suffer for me. First you think, oh, that's a bad thing. The question is not if I'm going to suffer in this world or not. The question is who and how I'm going to suffer in this world. And why am I going to suffer in this world? Pain and tribulation and setbacks is a part of life. That's why Jesus hanged on the cross. To show you, I took it all on and I survived it. Follow me, no matter what you go through, you'll survive it. You know? I think in that moment with Paul, once he was there, and we think about it, he was with the Roman soldiers and they had got him and got him to safety, and he's there. And I think about this and I think about this and I wonder if I would have had the strength that he had in Christ. See, in that moment we forget, or I forget, that Paul had gave up none of his authority. No one had pulled his authority of who he was as Saul from him. Paul had surrendered it and stepped away from it. In that moment, Paul made the decision to live a life for Christ to the end. Because he could have very easily said, when they asked the question, who are you? He could have very easily said, I'm Saul. I am the one. I'm the one that when you can't find them Christians that need to be killed, I'm the guy that goes gets them. And I need to talk to your commander. And I need you guys to get me to safety. And I'm going to pull back into my self-will and back into my personal authority as Saul and my position in this world. I'm going to protect self. He could have done that. He could have stepped right back into self-will and self-authority that he had and started taking care of self again. But he didn't. Wouldn't that have been the easier road in that moment? If some type of miracle had not happened in this man's soul, if Jesus Christ was not who he said he was in that moment, would that man not have took that road? Would he have not have took that road in that moment? If Christ is all just a nursery rhyme. No, something amazing has happened in this man's soul. He has got a relationship with God. He has an understanding of God in here that he never knew before. No, I want to speak to him. And if they tear me apart, they will tear me apart. But I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them about them. I was going about my business. And I was on my way to get them, to kill them. And Jesus came to me and said, I got to talk to you for a minute, son. I'm going to straighten you out. And I'm a changed man now. And you've got to understand who Christ is. And let me tell you who he is and what he's did for me and what he wants to do for you. That's not fake. That makes no sense for him to do that. Because if he goes back out as he did with that crowd of how many, who knows what the numbers are, right? Thousands, probably, hundreds, whatever it is. They could have overrun and pulled him down. So where's another miracle there? Another belief that God will come through and he says who he is who he says he is. What kind of faith did that take? That I'm going to step out, I'm going to walk out, I'm going to go out here, be an old Southern boy, I'm going to go and get in the Gulf of Mexico with a pork chop necklace on, bleeding blood, and believe right in the middle of the sharks that ain't one of them going to touch me. That's what Paul was doing. I will walk right up in the middle of the shark with a meat suit on for my Lord and Savior, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that they'll become vegetarians on that day. What kind of faith is that? Huh? And later on, Paul goes to explain. And we have to remember, it's not that sin out here that's going to get me in the end if it gets me. It's that sin in here. You know, we don't call stuff evil, evil anymore in this society. Us Christians. I'm not talking about the other people. We don't. I remember growing up as a boy, and sometimes my mother would not tell me something was good or bad or wrong. She'd look at me and say, "Son, that's just pure evil." That thought that you're having there, it's just pure evil. That's the miracle of Christ on the cross. See, that's what he did. He faced pure evil, not when it was broken down, but he faced pure evil when it was at its strongest, when it had a full wind in its sail and defeated it. Paul was willing to go out and not face evil when evil had broken all them people down. He was willing to go out and face them like the Lord and Savior at all costs when the evil of wanting to kill him was strong and was, and they were amped up and they were, and he was willing to face it. To say Christ loves you. He wants to save you. That's powerful. That's powerful. Are you willing to face someone that's wanting to kill you and say God loves you? And in the process, if you do kill me, my only concerns is I told you what Christ told me to tell you. What kind of love is that? How the love of Jesus Christ should transcend from the cross through the resurrection, through the ones that came claimed to be his servant. If it's one thing that we can do today as Christians, is no longer not call evil evil because we're worried we're going to offend somebody. No longer as a Christian, and as you're my sister and brother in Christ, I can't allow you, I shouldn't allow you to die in your ignorance of thinking you're living in righteousness when you're walking in evil. And we have to watch Lucifer, Satan. He's the great counterfeiter. You know, I've said this and I'll say it again. He's not, he doesn't care about what's going on in the 219. My mama used to tell me all the time when I was a little boy, if you think Satan is a stupid fisherman, son, you're stupider than he is. He is not going to turn around and fish in his live well. He's not worried about fish that he's already got caught. He's going to walk right up into that church among you and your brothers and sisters. And just like Paul's situation, the moment that you may have to do a little suffering for Christ, the people you call your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to try to pull you away from and say, oh, don't go. Don't do it. Satan will try to use me and Wayne to take one another out with our love. We have to recognize that. Me and Wayne, we've known one another for 15, 20 years. And we'll have a disagreement sometimes. You know, we will. You know. And Satan may be telling him something. Satan may be telling me something. You know? And then, but we know. What do? Me and Wayne use spiritual literature. Stuff like this. Okay? And we'll get to the point after we get trying to do whatever we're doing, you know, trying to Vince, who's right or wrong, you know, how you do and how, you know, when our ignorance arguing with one another wears out, kind of like a kid running and wearing out, and then we'll go to that spiritual literature and we'll say, what does it say about that situation? I've never have been able to look at God's word with another individual that had an open heart that was seeking the will of God and not come to a solution. It's impossible for me and you to sit down with an open heart seeking the will of God, both of us, and not come to a solution. If we use this for our blueprint of trying to solve the problem. Now, if I sat down with you and I'm in self-will, now we're talking a different thing, right? But if we both have the common wanting to know exactly what God wants us to do, there's no way that we can't find the solution in this book. No way. I mean, that's what's so amazing about Paul's life. What little information that we have about Paul and who he was before he became that prophet, that witness of Christ's love. He would have been... not an Elvis. He probably wouldn't have. But he would have been someone in society that had everything. He would have had all the comforts. He would have ate the best meals. He would have had the finest clothes. He would have had the nicest place to live. He would have had probably the nicest women to his disposal. He would have had whatever things of this world, man's treasures of this world could buy, he would have had access to it. And he traded all that in to live a life that served and suffered for Christ. So my question is today, are you willing to have a life and suffer in Christ? Because that's not a bad thing. You know, it's not a bad thing. And I'll share this one thing and I'll be done. And sometimes I talk about it, but I want to talk about it. 2 weeks ago, no, not quite 2 weeks ago, but I got to sit down with a lady and her husband committed suicide. And she'd been going for 2 years running in her situation until she's just wore out. Now she's ready to try God. Okay? And so then I have to come vulnerable to this lady. And then I have to tell her about my wife, my first wife, committing suicide. I have to qualify myself. And I have to tell her about the death of my two sons. And that's painful. And it made me suffer a little bit. That old pain come back and it hurt to have to relive that old pain. But I seen a glimmer of hope in that lady's eyes. And she said, yeah, I think I want to do this. When can we start? So I go home and talk to my wife, and we start Tuesday, her and another lady and another gentleman. So that's what it means to suffer for Christ, is when Satan does something so terrible that should just rip your soul out and destroy you completely, but Christ steps in and makes that train wreck whole again. In the future, when you run across another individual that Satan has done the same thing to, you have to be willing to relive that pain to be available for that individual, to give that individual the same opportunity that you got in Christ. And I'll pay that price every time. I'll feel that pain every time. To see the hope of Jesus Christ in someone else's eye. That there's no... They say the eyes are the wonder of the soul. And to look in someone else's eyes and see that they no longer think that Jesus is a thought, but they have the hope that he really is real. And I really can find a different way to live with who I am inside. That inside job that's destroying me. Thank y'all for letting me share in God's word today and love today. And in 2 weeks from now, we'll pick up the life of Paul. Thank you, Brother John. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Brother Hollis. I hear the voice of the Lord through Paul, through you, telling us, O church, arise and put your armor on. Let's hear the call of Christ, our captain, from what has been shared today. Are we up for that? Let's stand as we respond. As always, the altar is open here if you desire to pray.
Hear the call of Christ, our captain, for now the weak can
Thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ we can arise, we can be victorious over the enemy and all of his lies. We thank you for the good word from through your servant today and through the example of the Apostle Paul. Lord, we oftentimes think of these old saints as people who were unique and that we can't attain that level. But we're reminded this morning, came because of you, and the same can be true of us. And so we open our hearts anew and wider to you in this moment, thanking you for the privilege to be that, for the invitation that you hold out to us, for the challenge that has come through your word. Help us, Lord, to make that full and complete surrender as Paul did, so that in our lives you can shine brightly and clearly in a world of darkness. Help us to stand against the enemy's lies, to rebuke him, to put him in his place, that we can stand strong in you and be a light for others, to share what you've done in our lives in those opportunities that you give to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your spirit. We surrender it all to you. Thank you again for your faithfulness and for helping some to return to us today that have been struggling and needed your healing touch, for Cheryl and for Linda and probably others I'm forgetting. You know, each one, we're thankful for that, Lord, and thank you that we can just offer ourselves for your healing touch as well, not just in physical needs, but whatever we're dealing with emotionally and mentally and spiritually. You know it all, and so we claim your healing in that regard, and we claim your power and your strength as we go forward. We do want to continue to lift up Jackie and thank you for the successful surgery she's had, and just pray your healing to be complete in that, as well as he faces another surgery this Wednesday for Tom. And Lord, you're aware of not only these, but the others that I'm forgetting. And so we thank you for that, and pray also that you'll bless Dee, who's dealing with a stomach flu, evidently today, can't be with us. And for little Ben, pray your healing touch for him, and for little Colton as well. And to continue to bless Bulldog and Brooke and their care of him and other needs that they're with. Who was able to be with us Thursday night for our council meeting, we rejoice in that, but is back and forth, and just pray that you'll make her healing complete soon as well. Thank you, Lord, for each one of these, and also I'm reminded just now of John. Son-in-law's brother, and Rainier, especially that you'll speak to his heart, help him, Lord, to be ready for whatever lies ahead, and we praise you for that. For these and for other reasons and concerns your people will express, we thank you that you're listening and receiving. Sometimes and often we say, Lord, you know what's in our hearts. Listen to our hearts. So we just lift that to you. And also, you reminded me that even Brother Hollis here has been touched by your healing powers. And we give you praise for that and pray that it'll be complete for him. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've worshiped together and for the time to follow a fellowship. We pray your blessing and anointing in all of that and the food that's been prepared to our bodies. Help us to honor and glorify you in what we share here and as we go out back to our homes and other places through this day and the days ahead, that we can be used by you to share your love in whatever way that you make available and that we would be faithful and true in those opportunities that you give to us. We give you thanks for it in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, come on up. Sherry is, when is it again, Sherry? The 4th. You had yours on the 4th? All righty. And Shannon? Shannon, when was yours again? 12th, all righty. And no anniversaries present in April, okay. I know we have some other birthday people that are missing. Last Sunday we sang to Dwayne, and I'm forgetting others. But anyway, we'll sing to these two. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you both, happy birthday to you. Yay, and you get to lead the way.